Will the Senate please come to order? Will the members please vote to signify their presence? I guess we are not turned on.
Roll shows 14 members present this morning, Mr. President.
Please stand for the invocation by Pastor Richard Tuff of Resurrection Lutheran Church.
Let us pray. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is thy name in all the earth. Coming to the end of this week, we thank you for sustaining grace. We thank you for tasks accomplished and for the good things that have taken place. We also thank you for the adversity we have encountered. Help us to grow and to learn from them. We ask for your guidance today. We also ask that you would look at our calendar and the workload that is before us, and that you will bring them together in satisfactory conclusion. For each senator of the state of Alaska, we ask for your blessing, stamina, and good health. We pray in Christ's precious name. Amen.
Senator Jaroff, would you lead us to pledge allegiance? Would the Secretary please certify the journal?
I wish to certify as the correctness of the journal for the 109th legislative day.
Senator Rieger.
Mr. President, I move that the journal stand approved as certified by the Senate Secretary.
Without objection, the journals are approved as certified by the Senate Secretary. That brings us to introduction of guests. Senator Lehman.
Mr. President, in the Ziegler Gallery is a friend of mine, Captain Dennis Porter from Elmendorf Air Force Base. Cap Porter serves as the military liaison to the Anchorage School Board and is also down here representing General Ralston regarding base schools for regarding improvements both in the schools in the Fairbanks area and the Anchorage area, and I'd like to welcome him to the Senate.
Senator Miller.
A friend in the Miller Gallery. We're old college buddies, although I think he lives in Senator Salo's district, Mark Johnson.
Further guests for introduction? Senator Kapula.
Not absolutely certain, but I believe that Christian works with a great friend of mine in the insurance business here is Lori Kudrowski. Made a mistake. Thank you.
Will the Senate please stand at ease? Will the Senate please come back to order? Senator Krutula.
Mr. President, I would move and ask unanimous consent to revert to introduction of guests if we have now passed that stage.
Without objection, we're under introduction of guests, Senator Krutula.
Mr. President, it gives me a great deal of pleasure to introduce two constituents. One has had the opportunity of a double introduction at this time. She works for works in the Valley in the travel business, Lori Kudrowski, and Krista Maciola. She's two-time Iditarod runner.
Senator Frank.
Thank you. I also have a constituent from Fairbanks. Please help me welcome Lane Thompson.
Senator Pierce.
Thank you, Mr. President. We have from West Anchorage, although I'm not sure whose constituent he is, Ralph Samuels with the Anchorage Chamber Crime Committee. I'd like you to help me welcome him.
Let's see, are we getting messages from the governor? Messages from the governor.
There are no messages from the governor this morning.
Messages from the House.
Message dated April 28th. Dear Mr. President, the House has concurred in the Senate amendment to House Bill 294, thus adopting Senate CS HB 294 Labor and Commerce, extending the termination date of the Board of Pharmacy. Message dated April 28th. Dear Mr. President, the House has passed Senate Bill number 151 with the following amendment. House CS SB 151 Finance MH, providing for oil and gas exploration incentive credits and returning for consideration.
Senator Taylor.
Yes, thank you, Mr. President. I would move that Senate Bill 151, House Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 151, Oil and Gas, I move that the Senate concur in the House amendments to that Senate bill, thus adopting House CS for Senate Bill number 151, Finance Amended House.
Senator Duncan.
Thank you, Mr. President. I would like whoever's carrying this bill for the governor to explain the changes that were made in the House.
Senator Lehman.
I can explain the changes, Mr. President. If you give me a minute, I have a stack of file folders here, and I was looking for it, and it's not coming to the top quickly, so if we can have it at ease, I will.
Senator Stanton. Will the Senate please come back to order? Senator Lehman.
Mr. President, if members would take out the copy of Senate Bill 151, there were four changes made in the House. Section 1, page 2, line 23, the phrase, notwithstanding AS, et cetera, was added to clarify the confidentiality of data cannot exceed 24 months. Next change, section 1, page 3, line 10, total credits available under the program was reduced from $50 million to $30 million. And section 1, page 3, line 16, a new section was added to provide that a credit may not be extended to an applicant who has not paid back taxes or royalty due after all administrative and judicial appeals have been exhausted. And I thought there was a cheer on that one, too. And the fourth change, section 1, page 3, line 25, and page 4, line 28, the commissioner's authority to adopt regulations was changed to shall from May. And I concur with the changes and urge members to vote yes.
Senator Duncan.
President, what was the majority leader's recommendation? I think I missed that.
I recommended yes.
The question before the Senate is, shall the Senate concur in the House amendment to Senate Bill 151, thus adopting House Committee Substitute Senate Bill 151, Finance Amended House? Members may proceed to vote. Have all members voted? Does any member wish to change their vote? Would the Secretary lock the roll and record the vote? And so House Committee Substitute Senate Bill 151, Finance Amended House, has passed the Senate on concurrence by a vote of 20 yeas to zero nays. Senator Taylor, the effective date.
Unanimous consent, the vote on passage of the bill be considered the vote on the effective date clause.
Without objection, the roll call on final passage in concurrence with House Committee Substitute Senate Bill 151, Finance Amended House, will be considered the roll call on the effective date clause.
Message dated April 28th. Dear Mr. President, the House has passed CS for Senate Bill 251, Finance Amended with the following amendment. House CS for CS for Senate Bill 251, Finance, an act related to the Commercial Fishing Revolving Loan Fund and the Fisheries Enhancement Revolving Loan Fund, effective date and returning for consideration.
Senator Taylor.
I move that the Senate concur in the House amendments to CS for Senate Bill number 251, Finance Amended, thus adopting House CS 4CS for Senate Bill number 251, Finance. I recommend a vote of yes.
Senator Duncan.
President, again, I'd like an explanation by, the sponsor on the bill to explain the differences and what the impacts might be.
Senator Jekyll.
Thank you, Mr. President. The only change that was made in the House was that the money that be transferred from the revolving loan fund to the hatchery fund, when it left here, we had 50% of the excess that allowed to be transferred in the House. They allowed that all the excess be transferred. The 50% portion of it was taken out of the legislation.
Senator Duncan.
President, I'm wondering, and I don't have before me, unfortunately, with this packet, the fiscal notes that apparently were with the bill before that indicate, I guess it seems to me that that change may not just be small, it may be a pretty significant change going from 50% to 100%. And I don't understand for sure the amounts that are in those loan funds, how that might impact, et cetera. It seems to me that this may be a bill that we want to look at and get that information available to the members instead of voting blindly. I don't know what the impact of increasing from 50 to 100% of the surplus is. What's the amount of surplus? What's that impact? What's it mean?
Senator Jackal.
Mr. President, I don't have those fiscal notes with me here either. I don't know what the excess amounts would be, but I guess the point to be made is that it is excess that would be transferred. It's anything that's not used in the revolving loan fund for the needs that are set forth in this legislation and the other needs that they have already would be transferred to the hatcheries revolving loan fund. It would allow more money to be transferred to the hatcheries. It basically would allow the commissioner to have the discretion to transfer more money to the hatcheries is basically what the intent of this amendment that the House made is.
Brief at ease, please.
Senator will stand at ease. Will the Senate please come back to order? We're in debate on Senate Bill 251. Senator Jackal.
Mr. President, according to a document prepared by the Department of Economic Development on February 22, 1994, the amount of money that would be available from the department would be $5 million. This is money that would be available for IFQ's IRS refrigeration refinancing requests as a result of Senate Bill 251. This is when this legislation is limited, we don't really know what money would be available in terms of an excess next year because we don't know what the request would come in as a result of 251. But as of this date, $5 million is available, 50%, or all of that excess would be available according to the legislation as it is now. As we sent it over, $2.5 million would have been available.
Question before the Senate is, shall the Senate concur in the House amendment to Senate Bill 251, thus adopting House Committee Substitute, Senate Bill 251, Finance? Members may proceed to vote. Have all members voted? Does any member wish to change their vote? Would the Secretary lock the roll and record the vote? And so House Committee Substitute, Senate Bill 251, Finance, has passed the Senate by a vote of 20 yeas, 0 nays. Senator Taylor.
Move and ask unanimous consent. The vote on passage of the bill be considered the vote on the effective date clause.
Without objection, the roll call and final passage will be considered the roll call and the effective date clause.
Instituted April 28th. Dear Mr. President, the House has passed CS for Senate Bill 252 Judiciary with the following amendment. House CS for CS for Senate Bill 252 Judiciary, an act prohibiting the possession of child pornography and returning for consideration.
Senator Taylor.
I move that the Senate concur in the House amendment to CS for Senate Bill number 252 Judiciary, thus adopting House CS for CS for Senate Bill number 252 Judiciary. And recommend yes.
The question before the Senate is, shall the Senate concur in the House amendment to Senate Bill 252, thus adopting House Committee Substitute, Senate Bill 252 Judiciary? Senator Duncan.
Mr. President, could I ask the Judiciary Chair the penalty provisions, how they differ between a Class B and a Class A misdemeanor?
Senator Taylor. Oh, Senator Miller.
Thank you. Although I'm not the judiciary chair, the Class B misdemeanor is a fine up to $1,000, jail time up to 90 days. A Class A misdemeanor is a fine up to $5,000 and jail time up to 1 year.
Senator Adams.
Since we made that felony change from B to A, and you said jail time, is there a fiscal note that goes along with the change of that felony?
Maybe I could try that one.
Senator Taylor.
I don't know if, in fact, a new fiscal note was issued. I don't believe one was, but it's not a felony. It's a misdemeanor, and jail time was available under either the Class B or the Class A misdemeanor. You just have to guess at whether the judges would give more jail time because it's a Class A designation as opposed to a Class B. I doubt that it would be a very definitive fiscal note.
Question before the Senate is, shall the Senate concur in the House amendment, thus adopting House Committee Substitute, Committee Substitute, Senate Bill 252, Judiciary? Members may proceed to vote. Have all members voted? Does any member wish to change their vote? Would the Secretary lock the roll and record the vote? And so the Senate has concurred in the House amendment, thus adopting House Committee Substitute, Senate Bill 252, Judiciary, by a vote of 20 yeas, 0 nays. Madam Secretary.
This is dated April 28th. Dear Mr. President, the House has failed to concur in the Senate amendment to House Bill 407, namely Senate CS for House Bill 407 Finance MS, relating to issuance of commemorative Gold Rush motor vehicle license plates, and respectfully request the Senate to receive from its amendment. In the event the Senate fails, the Speaker has appointed the following members to a conference committee to meet with the like committee: Representative Foster Chair, Representative Phillips, Representative Grusendorf.
At this time, I will appoint a conference. Senator Duncan?
Don't we get a chance to receive?
No.
I mean, I might want to, right?
Senator Duncan, you are right.
Are you telling me the votes are all lined up on this one?
No.
I hope so.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move the Senate recede from its amendment to House Bill number 407. And I don't have a recommendation.
Senator Duncan.
Mr. President, I recommend...
Liberty, please.
I would recommend that we seriously consider voting to recede. Of course, that means then that the House bill would stand, which means that this becomes an optional plate and not a complete redesign and a mandatory new plate. And I think that's what the sponsor intended, and that's the best course. And, of course, it does speed this whole session up to have less conference committees.
Senator Sharp.
Thank you, Mr. President. Despite the lack of total enthusiasm by our majority leader, I would urge that we vote no.
Question before the Senate is, shall the Senate recede from our amendments to House Bill 407? Members may proceed to vote. Have all members voted? Does any member wish to change their vote? Would the Secretary lock the roll and record the vote? So the Senate has failed to recede from our amendment to House Bill 407 by a vote of 9 yeas to 11 nays. Now I get to appoint a conference committee. Chaired by Senator Sharp, joined by Senator Salo and Senator Jacko. Amazing. Madam Secretary.
Mr. President, could we have a brief at ease, please?
The Senate will stand at ease. Will the Senate please come back to order, Madam Secretary?
Message dated April 28th. Dear Mr. President, the House has passed and transmitted for consideration CS for House Bill 337 Judiciary by the Judiciary Committee, an act related to the possession of controlled substances within 500 feet of recreation use centers and permitting municipalities to install drug-free recreation use center zone signs. CS for House Bill number 412 has amended by the House Health, Education, and Social Services Committee, an act relating to facilities for the care of children to through child placement agencies to maternity homes to certain residential facilities for adults and to foster homes for adults and providing for an effective date.
Hess and Finance.
And those are all the messages from the House.
Senator Reagan.
Morning.
Senate will stand at ease. Please come back to order. Is that all the messages from the House?
Yes.
Communications.
There are no communications this morning.
Reports of standing committees.
Message dated April 28th to Mr. President. In accordance with AS 3905080, the Senate Labor and Commerce Committee has reviewed the qualifications of the following and recommends the appointment be forwarded to a joint session for consideration. Board of Barbers and Hairdressers, Occupational Safety and Health Review, Board of Pharmacy. The forwarding of these appointments does not reflect an intent by any of the members to vote for or against these appointments during any further consideration. Respectfully, Senator Kelly Chair, Senators Rieger, Sharp, Salo, and Lincoln. Dear Mr. President, the Judiciary Committee has considered the following appointment to the Commission on Judicial Conduct: Jeffrey Fieldman, Judicial Counsel, Janet Leinhart, Board of Governors of the Alaska Bar, Ethel Staten. The report, there were no state objections regarding confirmation of the named individuals. However, this does not necessarily indicate an intention of a committee member to vote for or against the individuals named at the time of the joint session on confirmation. Senator Taylor Chair, Senators Jacko, Donnelly, Halford, and Little. Finance Committee considered Senate Bill 363, Appropriations for Capital Project, Matching Grant Funds and for Capital Projects, recommends it be replaced with CS and DUPAS. Report was signed by Senators Frank and Pierce, co-chairs, concurring, Senators Rieger, Sharp, and Kelly. Senator Curtulo signed no recommendation. Senate Bill number 363 has no further referral.
Rule.
Finance Committee considered Senate Bill 367, Health Care and Insurance, recommends it be replaced with CS and reports it back as follows. Senator Pierce, co-chair, and Senators Rieger and Kelly signed DUPAS. Senators Frank, co-chair, and Sharp signed no recommendation. Fiscal note, Senate Bill number 367 has no further referral.
Rules.
Judiciary Committee considered House Joint Resolution number 60, amendments to the Constitution of the United States prohibiting federal courts from ordering a state or political subdivision of a state to increase taxes. And Majority Committee recommends do pass. Report was signed by Senator Taylor, concurring Senators Halford and Jacko, Senators Little and Donnelly signed no recommendation. House Joint Resolution number 60 has no further referral.
Rules.
Judiciary Committee considered CSHB 2 rules requiring drug and alcohol tests for school bus drivers. Majority Committee recommends do pass. Report was signed by Senator Taylor, Chair, concurring Senators Halford and Jacko, Senators Little and Donnelly signed no recommendation. Fiscal note, CS for House Bill number 2 rules as a further referral to the Finance Committee. Judiciary Committee considered House Bill 78, testimony of children in certain criminal proceedings. Majority of the committee reports back with no recommendation. Report was signed by Senator Taylor, Chair, concurring Senators Little and Donnelly, Senators Jacko and Halford signed due pass. Zero fiscal notes. House Bill number 78 has no further referral.
Rules.
Judiciary Committee considered CS House Bill 79 Finance amended, recovery from a parent or legal guardian of willful or malicious destruction of a property by a minor, recommends it be replaced with Senate CS and reports it back as follows. Senator Taylor, Chair, and Senator Jekyll signed due pass. Senators Donnelly and Little, no recommendation. Zero fiscal note. CS HB 79 Finance AM has no further referral.
Rules.
Judiciary Committee considered CS SS HB 128 Finance, paternity determinations and acknowledgments. Majority of the committee recommends due pass. Report was signed by Senator Taylor, concurring Senators Little, Jacko, and Halford. Senator Donnelly signed no recommendation. Fiscal note and zero fiscal note. CSSSHB 128 Finance has a further referral to the Finance Committee. Labor and Commerce Committee considered CSHB 277 Judiciary, indemnification of public employees, recommends it be replaced with Senate CS. The majority of the committee reports it back with no recommendation. Report was signed by Senator Kelly, Chair, concurring Senators Lincoln, Sharp, and Rieger. Senator Salo signed due pass. There are fiscal notes. CS for House Bill 277 Jude has a further referral to the Judiciary Committee. Judiciary Committee considered House Bill number 331 amended, claims on permanent fund dividends. Majority of the committee recommends no recommendation. Report was signed by Senator Taylor and Halpert, who signed due pass. Senators Little, Donnelly, and Jacko signed no recommendation. 3-0 fiscal notes. House Bill number 331 amended has a further referral to the Finance Committee. Labor and Commerce Committee considered House Bill 394, limited partnerships, reports it back as follows. Senator Kelly, Chair, and Senator Rieger signed due pass. Senator Sharp, Lincoln, Salo, no recommendation. House Bill number 394 has no further referral.
Rules.
Judiciary Committee considered CSHB 410 State Affairs, Real Estate Appraisers. Majority of the committee recommends due pass. Report was signed by Senator Taylor, Chair, concurring Senators Jacko and Halford. Senators Little and Donnelly signed no recommendation. Zero fiscal note. CS for House Bill number 410 State Affairs has no further referral.
Rules.
Judiciary Committee considered House Bill 429, Special Education Service Agency. Majority of the committee recommends to pass. Report was signed by Senator Taylor, Chair. Concurring Senators Jacqueline Halford, Senators Little and Dolly, no recommendations. Zero fiscal note. House Bill 429 has no further referral.
Rules.
Rules Committee considered Senate Bill 320, Occupational Licensing Board and Commissions. Senate Joint Resolution Number 36, 50% requiring that candidates for governor and candidates for lieutenant governors receive more than 50% of the votes cast. Recommends calendar. Reports were signed by Senator Halford. Concurring Senators Little and Jackal. Rules Committee considered Senate Bill 313, Comprehensive Health Insurance. Recommends calendar. Report was signed by Senator Halford. Concurring Senators Rigger and Jar. Senator Little signed no recommendation. Senate Bill 213, Alaska Public Utilities Commission. Recommends calendar. Report was signed by Senator Halford. Concurring Senators Rigger. Senators Little and Jar signed no recommendation. Senate Bill 256, tax on transfers and consumption of aviation fuel. Recommends calendar. Report was signed by Senator Halford, Chair. Concurring Senators Rigger, Jacko, and Jaroff. Senator Little signed no recommendation. House Bill 365, termination date of the Board of Barbers and Hairdressers. Report was signed by Senator Halford, Chair. Concurring Senators Little, Jacko, Rigger, and Jaroff. CS for House Bill 442, finance, criminal justice information. Recommends calendar. Report was signed by Senator Halford, Chair. Concurring Senators Rigger and Jacko. Senators Little and Jaroff signed no recommendation. CS House Joint Resolution Number 50, resources relating to the North Pacific Fisheries Management Council, recommends calendar. Report signed by Senator Halford, Chair. Concurring Senators Little, Jaroff, and Rigger. These bills and resolutions do appear on today's calendar, and those are all the standing committee reports today.
Reports of special committees.
Report dated April 20th, received this morning at 10:50. Mr. President, Madam Speaker, the conference committee with limited powers of pre-conference, considering CS at SB 54 Finance and House CS for CS for Senate Bill 54 Finance MH, violations of laws by juveniles, recommends that conference CS for Senate Bill 54, an act relating to violations of laws by juveniles, to the remedies for offenses and activities committed by juveniles and to juvenile records, and to incarceration of juveniles who have been charged, prosecuted, or convicted as adults, and providing for an effective date be adopted. Report was signed by Senator Taylor, Chair, Senators Lehman and Donnelly, Representative Porter, Chair, and Representative Mackey.
Senator Taylor.
I move and ask unanimous consent that the Senate concur and adopt committee substitute Senate Bill 54, the conference committee report. Vote yes.
Yeah, you can't ask unanimous consent. Senator Duncan.
President, can we have an ease?
Senate will stand at ease. This all day. Will the Senate please come back to order? Would somebody... The question before the Senate is concurrence in the conference committee substitute for Senate Bill 54, thus passing conference committee substitute Senate Bill 54. Senator Taylor, you want to explain the differences?
If I can, Mr. President, they're rather lengthy, and I call on my other members here if they could assist in some way. The changes, basically, to put it in a nutshell, between the House and the Senate version, were that the House version was much more restrictive on the number of offenses that would automatically provide for waiver. When it left, the bill left our chambers, it provided for all Class A felonies and all unclassifieds, including arson. The other body failed to concur in that, and when they got done amending, the only thing left in this bill, as far as specific offenses, were murder, the three different classes of murder. And that's the way it came back to us. When the conference committee met, one of the first things we took up was that issue. We have, in some instances, followed the House approach on some details. In other areas, we have not. But that was the biggest issue. That now is resolved in that the House, we believe, will adopt what is in this conference committee report, and that is that all Class A's, all unclassifieds, and arson are included. The conference committee report followed the House's approach in limiting the application of the automatic waiver of juvenile jurisdiction to minors who were 16 years of age. Some of you may recall it was 14 when it left this body. at the time of the offense, but expands the number of offenses covered by the automatic waiver provision, generally along the line of the Senate-passed bill. The Conference Committee's report, Section 6, includes language by which the automatic waiver of juvenile jurisdiction would apply to, number one, unclassified felonies that were crimes against a person, two, Class A felonies that were crimes against a person, and the offense of arson in the first degree. The Conference Committee, in adopting and modifying Section 11 of the House-passed bill, adopted the manner of treatment and procedures of the House version. The material appears as part of the bill, Section 6, Conference Committee Report. The Conference Committee adopted bill sections 12, 13, and 15 of the House version. Those provisions appeared as bill sections 7, 8, and 10 of the Conference Committee Report. Provisions relating to the exercise of the court's jurisdiction over juveniles, the Conference Committee action was that the provision was retained by the Conference Committee, and it appears as bill section 11 of the Conference Committee Report. Under item 3, sanctions and criminal sentences that may be imposed on juveniles, the Conference Committee considered each of the House adopted sections but declined to include those in the Conference Committee Report. Incarceration of juveniles. The House and Senate version contained like provisions addressing the topic of incarceration of minors convicted as adults. The Conference Committee included these provisions, and they appear in sections 4 and 14 of the Conference Committee Report. The House version, but not the Senate's, contained one additional provision. That was Bill Section 8, and that barred the placement of a juvenile convicted as an adult in a cell with an adult prisoner convicted of a serious sexual offense. So to that extent, no juvenile was going to be placed in a prisoner with a person of that background. The House version, but not the Senate's, contains, let's see, I was reading it, provisions amending the definition of the of offense. These House provisions are not found in the Senate version. That's Bill Sections 2 and 3 of the House version, and so on. Conference Committee adopted only the first of the two House proposed changes, the one relating to firearms and the possession by a minor if the minor has been adjudicated a delinquent for conduct that would constitute a felony, and the accompanying affirmative defense. These provisions appear as bill sections 2 and 3 of the Conference Committee report. As you recall, we had a bill that came through on another subject about probation and the uniform requirements of probation as to whether or not you could have a pistol in the home, and whether or not we could allow some of these individuals to go back to their homes, especially out in rural communities where there might be a firearm present. We had quite a debate on that, both in this body on another piece of legislation, but specifically within the Conference Committee. We have adopted the portion of the House's version, which would allow for the placement of that person back in that home, but with conditions. Provision 6, relating to juvenile records and public access to them. This is another important section, I feel, of the bill, and generally bill sections 158 and 9 of the Senate-passed versions and bill sections 114, 17, and 18 of the House-approved version treat with public access to records relating to juvenile, and we were successful there in carrying the day. Conference Committee action, in part because of its approach and content, were more comprehensive, and in part because the changes made in the House version responded to concerns expressed by the Department of Health and Social Services, the conferees adopted bill sections 14, 17, and 18 of the House version. They now appear as bill sections 9, 12, and 13 of the conference report. Senate's bill section 13 gave this bill a September 1st, 1993 effective date. The House adopted bill updated the proposed effective date by 1 year to September 1st, 1994. The conferees adopted the date set out in the House version, and that is found in bill section 17 of the Conference Committee report. I know that's very brief, but there are major, major changes that occurred throughout the process in adapting the two. There was very similar provisions found in both bills, but a slight change in wording had to be accommodated, and bill sections had to be moved significantly.
So Senator Duncan.
Thank you, Mr. President. Actually, that wasn't very brief. That was a pretty extensive explanation of a whole lot of changes and differences. And I got to admit that I don't understand all those and the impact of all those. And it is they are major changes, as the majority leader said. Mr. President, this is final passage of a bill that we just got on our desk. I just got it. And the report was just read by the Senate Secretary. I think it would be on major items like this, it would be a legitimate request to ask us to ask for 24 hours so that we can review it and know what we're voting on. And it's not like it won't get passed, because we're going to be around on Monday, and it can be done then. I just think, out of courtesy, I'd like to have a chance for my staff to review it, and I have a chance to take a look at it and talk to folks who I rely on these types of issues to understand exactly what happened.
Will Senate please stand, please? Senator Taylor. Senator, please come back to order. Senator will stand at ease. Senator, please come back to order. Senator Taylor.
Move to ask unanimous consent. Committee substitute Senate Bill 54 be held to the bottom, moved to the bottom of today's calendar.
Without objection, we will take up the concurrence in the conference committee report on Senate Bill 54 at the bottom of the calendar. Madam Secretary.
Those are all the special committee reports this morning, Mr. President.
Introduction of Senate resolutions.
Senate concurrent resolution number 22 by the Senate Judiciary Committee, suspending uniform rules 24C, 35, 41B, and 42E of the Alaska State Legislature concerning House Bill number 445 related to operating motor vehicle, aircraft, or watercraft.
Rules.
Those are all the resolutions.
That brings us to the consideration of the daily calendar. Will the Senate please stand at ease? Would the Senate please come back to order? It is our intention to recess, but before the recess, we'd like to have announcements. Senator Rieger?
The Rules Committee will meet at 20 minutes after 1 o'clock, and the bills to be considered are Senate Bill 363, the Capital Budget, and Senate Bill 367, health care bill.
Senator Duncan?
Thank you, Mr. President. My understanding is we're recessing until 2:30. Is that correct? So at 1:30 sharp, there will be a minority caucus in the Belts Room. 1:30.
We will caucus at 1:30 in the President's office, and we will return to the floor at 2:30, hopefully. I would move we stand in recess till 2:30.
Without objection, we're in recess until 2:30. Will the Senate please come back to order? Senator Lincoln.
Thank you, Mr. President. May we please revert back to introduction of guests?
Without objection, we're under introduction of guests.
Thank you very much. Mr. President and members of the chamber here, I'd like to introduce a couple special people to me in the Ziegler Gallery. One is Mr. Dick Newton, who is from Takotna and has been very instrumental in educational issues there. And Mr. John Monahan, who is the superintendent of the Iditarod School District. Please help me welcome them.
Proceeding down the calendar to reports of standing committees, Madam Secretary.
Rules Committee considered Senate Bill 363, making appropriation for capital projects matching grant funds and for capital projects, recommends it be placed in the calendar. Report was signed by placed on the first supplemental calendar. Report was signed by Senator Helfer, Chair, concurring Senators Rieger and Jackal. Senators Little and Jarve signed no recommendation. Senate Bill 363 appears on today's supplemental calendar.
Senator Taylor.
We would ask unanimous consent. We adopt the first supplemental calendar.
Okay. Without objection, the first supplemental calendar is adopted. Senator Pierce.
I'd like to call the Senate, and we need to have an at ease, please, to hand out the amendment.
Senate stands. Will the Senate please come to order? to order. The call is semi-satisfied. Would the members in the foyer please come back? The call is satisfied. Would the secretary please read the first item on the supplemental calendar, or the only item on the supplemental calendar?
Senate Bill number 363 by the Rules Committee by request of the Governor an act making appropriations for capital project matching grant funds and for capital projects and providing for an effective date. Finance Committee considered the bill recommends a CS and due pass. Report was signed by Senators Pierce and Frank, co-chairs, concurring Senators Rieger, Sharp, and Kelly. Senator Kutula signed no recommendation. Rules Committee recommends first supplemental calendar. Report was signed by Senator Halford, Chair, concurring Senators Rieger and Jackal. Senators Little and Jarrett signed no recommendation. I have an amendment number one. Excuse me, there is a finance CS.
Senator Pierce?
I would move the CS for Senate Bill 363 finance in lieu of the original bill.
Without it? Question before the Senate is the adoption of the Finance Committee substitute. Is the objection maintained? Senator Ellis?
Thank you, Mr. President. Yes, I will maintain the objection until we have an explanation of the changes in the bill.
I believe that is the entire bill. Senator Pierce?
It's the bill came in at about $110 million. The governor sent us his, and this bill that is before you is $99 million. This is in general funds, $99,996,600. I'm really not prepared to go through it line by line. We can have an at ease, and I can do that if everybody wants to.
The question before the Senate is the adoption of the Finance Committee substitute. Is the objection maintained? Senator Duncan?
Thank you, Mr. President. May we have an at ease?
The Senate will stand at ease. Will the Senate please come back to order? Senator Ellis?
Thank you, Mr. President. Maybe it'll help the body if I'll explain myself a little further here in what I need to remove an objection to the adoption of the Finance Committee substitute. Without putting the co-chair through too rigorous or lengthy of a process here, I just hope she would characterize the differences in the version. And to be very candid, what sort of incited me on this point, Mr. President, was this 15-page amendment that's here on my desk that made me wonder what kind of shape the bill was in. To have 15 pages of amendment number one, 15 pages worth, maybe the administration didn't get to us, maybe the Finance Committee didn't spend enough time before this bill was trotted out here on the floor. I don't know exactly, but that's what made me object to the adoption. Just wanting a little bit more explanation, characterize the differences between the versions, and tell me why we have a bill that we have to do all these amendments on the floor to. I don't mind discussing those, but it just made me wonder.
Senator Pierce.
As I explained on the floor on Wednesday and again yesterday, when we went to Senate Finance this morning, after we handed out the proposed capital budget to all the offices on Wednesday evening, OMB came back to us with some proposed amendments. Other people, both majority and minority, came back to us with some proposed amendments. We went through all of those amendments at Senate Finance this morning. We didn't adopt any so that we could have this bill on the floor today because we weren't going to have time to get all of the amendments to get the bill rerun so that we'd have the full bill if we adopted a new finance CS this morning. What you have in front of you are the amendments that were brought to us since Wednesday evening. Now, you can blame whoever you want to, but yes, OMB did come in with some changes, but we attached their original request to the front of the bill that we delivered to your offices Wednesday evening. High points of things that are no longer in the budget. The Alaska Housing Finance Corporation came to us with $44 million worth of requests. Those have been pared down to $23 million. Those are all corporate receipts or federal funds that doesn't really affect the GF bottom line. There were lots of changes in some of the smaller requests. For example, the Department of Law for federal litigation continuation. The original governor's request was $1,032,000. The request in the budget is for the amount in the budget is $750,000. Other fairly major changes. There were a lot of the requests were pared down. The federal highway program match, the GF match, went from $23 million down to $20 million. That's because we actually deleted a couple of projects when we saw what the real construction season forecast was, and because we were able to pick up some of the match from previous years that has not been utilized. The Sitka-Thompson Harbor project stayed in. You'll note that the Ketchikan Shipyard project is no longer in this budget. That was in at $1,250,000 in the governor's budget. The deferred maintenance of the various regions, we took the money that had been requested, I don't remember the number off the top of my head, for emergency contingencies, and spread that, cut it some, and then spread that money through deferred maintenance. Let's see. The water sewer projects are exactly out of the governor's list, with the exception of an add of the North Pole Sewer Water Project. We did go through the entire list to capture all of the money that Senator Stevens was able to get for the state of Alaska for water sewer matches. Another major change, Anchorage Courthouse went from $4,800 to $4 million. To $2,750,000. It was primarily winnowing down the smaller requests from the different agencies, with a couple of major deletes, the courthouse and the Ketchikan shipyards being the two large ones that were either completely eliminated with the hope that there'll be reappropriation money, or considerably cut. But that is the reason you have an amendment before you.
The question before the Senate is the adoption of the Finance Committee substitute. Is the objection maintained? Without objection, the Finance Committee substitute is adopted. Madam Secretary.
CS for Senate Bill 363 to Finance. I have amendment number one by Senator Pierce, page 4, line 3, and it's been distributed.
Senator Pierce.
I would move amendment number one.
Amendment number one has been moved. Is there objection? Without objection, amendment number one is adopted.
Amendment number two by Senator Kurtula on page 4, line 18, and this has been distributed.
It's been distributed.
Yes, it has. Senator Kurtula.
I do move the amendment, Mr. President. I thought it was going to be part of the packet. I had every reason to believe it was, even though at the time I don't think there was an intention to move all the amendments that had been adopted by the committee as in the packet, so presume that's reasoned out. The amendment is distributed or is out for printing right now, I presume. I don't know.
We have the amendment.
You have it? I just don't have it. Thank you. I'm not sure why that is. Mr. President, it's primarily the result of rural requests. Capital Project provides 25% matching grants for U.S. Commerce National Public Radio facilities. In any event, my understanding is that you get about a 4-to-1 match, and it's a very well-respected program requested by rural Alaska primarily. I'm supportive of it, and I think you all well know the public broadcasting matching grant program. I endorse it, and I hope that you'll support it.
Senator Pierce.
Thank you. The governor and OMB did not bring public broadcasting to us as part of their budget. I believe that matching grants may have been requested. I'm not sure whether they were requested through the budget process, but they didn't come to us. It's my understanding that the House is looking for reappropriations money to provide to public radio for matching grants. At this time, I would oppose this amendment. While I support public broadcasting, it A, doesn't fit under the $100 million cap, or it would take us over the $100 million. B, it didn't come to us from the governor. And C, it frankly needs to stand beside hundreds, even thousands of other requests for this sort of grants that usually are funded through discretionary funding. And Mr. President, this year we don't have any discretionary capital.
Senator Cotulla.
That's just the point. It's true that we do have a matching grant program that may allow for a minimum of involvement by legislators at the local level before initiation, but other than that, there is no discretionary. It's perhaps some reappropriation funds available. Again, we seem to be having a lot of problem up there for some of us to get our reappropriations considered, legitimate as they are and as funding sources are. And there's a transference up there, too, of reappropriation funds from one district's involvement to some other that has the political power to get it. I'm not too optimistic, even though perhaps the House Finance Co-Chairman is in support of this. I'm not too optimistic you'll get it. It is a very large grant match program, and I think that it, of all independent additions, ought to at least get consideration here, even though I understand we're trying to stay below $100 million. It bothers me greatly, and I don't understand why there is a bit of discretionary. I suspect it very minimally affects the district I represent, but it is a statewide project.
Question before the Senate is the adoption of Amendment Number 2. Members may proceed to vote. Have all members voted? Does any member wish to change their vote? Would the Secretary lock the roll and record the vote? And so Amendment Number 2 has failed to be adopted by a vote of 8 yeas to 12 nays. Senator Pierce?
Can we have a brief at ease?
Senate will stand at ease, please. Will the Senate please come back to order? Madam Secretary.
Amendment number 3 by Senator Lincoln, page 8. It's been distributed.
Senator Lincoln.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move amendment number 3.
Amendment number 3 has been moved. There is objection, Senator Lincoln.
Thank you, Mr. President. The amendment removes the $300,000, deletes that, and adds the $500,000 into the capital budget for the AYK area. I have spoken before on this floor about the problems that we've experienced in the past in the AYK area and will more than likely continue to. According to, again, the commissioner of the ADF&G, the state is 10 years behind where it should be in terms of management information for the AYK area. As each of you know, in 1993, we saw area-wide fisheries disaster in the AYK region in the chum salmon fisheries. The forecast for 1994 is the same. To reduce the funding will seriously cripple ADF&G's ability to improve the management of this chum fisheries. The Department of AYK had in the capital budget $595,000. That was originally requested. And I do appreciate the co-chair of finance pointing out to me that the governor, in his proposed figure to the finance committee, was $300,000, although that is down again from, as I said, the $595,000 that the department requested. If we don't do anything to increase the capital budget and the gathering the information, we will continually be here on the floor talking about lack of accurate, reliable data in which to make decisions on the catastrophe that we experienced in 93 and more than likely will in 94 on the chum in the AYK area. And Mr. President, I would urge the body to support amendment number 3 so that we're not back here next year talking about In fact, the original proposal was over $1 million of request for the AYK area to address this serious deficit. And I think that while this $300,000 is certainly an appreciated effort, we really need to put as much as we can into this so that we're not back here again talking about the disaster in 94 and what we had in 93, and that we need to get capital project money for this area. I urge your support. Thank you.
Senator Jackal? Well, I went over and told them, so he went to somebody else to get help. Will the Senate please come back to order? The question before the Senate is the adoption of Amendment Number 3. Senator Jacko.
Mr. President, I have an amendment to Amendment Number 3.
Senator Jacko.
I would propose that we amend Amendment Number 3 by amending page 23, line 20, deleting 250,000 and adding 50,000. Which essentially, the amendment as it reads would increase the budget above $100 million by $200 million. This would allow us to do the increase as proposed by Amendment Number 3 without increasing the total amount of the budget.
Senator Lincoln.
Thank you, Mr. President. I find that this is rather strange that when I talk about the need for the AYK fisheries, if the problem was with this body to find $250,000 to balance it, I can certainly give you that figure. I didn't propose to do that, but I can find the $250,000 if that is my colleague's concern of where the decrement is going to come from. As it is, the $250,000 that for those of you who don't have the CS363 comes from Healy Lake, which is in my district, for sanitation. And of course, you all fully understand, and my colleague does, about how important water and sewer is to our district. Mr. President, at this point, I would call an at ease.
You didn't move the amendment.
I move the amendment to the amendment.
The amendment to the amendment has been moved. There is objection. We are at ease. Will the Senate please come back to order? The question before the Senate is the consideration of Amendment 2, Amendment Number 3.
Mr.
Senator
President?
Pierce?
Oh.
Senator Pierce?
I'm going to speak to the amendment to the amendment, but I'd also first like to speak to the original amendment. The senator from Rampart was correct. The original request for the YAK or AYK or whatever it is project was for over $1 million. However, over 600,000 of that request was in the operating budget. The Senate has $500,000 in its operating budget. I believe the House number was close to that, and we didn't close out the budget, but we are planning to continue to have as much, as close to the $500,000 figure for the AYK project as is possible. When the governor sent his budget over to us, he put in $500,000 for operating and $300,000 for capital. The $300,000 matches the $500,000. To go up now to $595,000 on capital, there's not enough operating money in either the House or the Senate operating budget to make good utilization of the additional capital money, because the governor made the decision, as he was trying to bring his budget down to $100 million and wasn't able to, that he was going to have only $500,000 in operating and $300,000 in capital. We agreed that that was very important. We took the $300,000 that the governor had originally requested and kept it. It was one of the few projects that we didn't cut at all. I would speak against Amendment Number 3 and against the amendment to Amendment Number 3, because we also made sure that we stuck with the water sewer projects in the order that they came to us, in the prioritized order that they came over from DEC. And I don't think that we should be trying to pull money out of some of those projects communities who don't have a clue what we're doing down here, other than they know that they're on the list and that their project counts on the point system, to put money into a project that doesn't need the capital money because there's no way it's going to have the operating money to use the capital.
Senator Jackal.
Mr. President, I withdraw the amendment to the amendment and recommend voting against the capital bill.
The amendment to the amendment is withdrawn. The amendment is before us. The question before the Senate is the adoption of amendment number 3. Members may proceed to vote. Have all members voted? Does any member wish to change their vote? Would the secretary lock the roll and record the vote? And so amendment number 3 has failed to be adopted by a vote of 7 yeas to 13 nays. Madam Secretary, the next amendment.
Amendment number 4 by Senator Pierce, page 14, line 36, and it's been distributed.
Senator Pierce.
In the spirit of cooperation, I'll offer amendment number 4.
Amendment number 4 has been moved. Is there objection? Senator Pierce.
Thank you. Amendment number 4 simply changes the description of a project that's in the budget, page 14, line 36, Pedro Bay Airport Erosion Control. There is a stream that runs beside or alongside the airport in Pedro Bay. The stream has changed course and is now running across the runway. The present culvert is not large enough to handle, and there's massive erosion on the airport, on the runway itself. The description as it originally came in just called it improvements. We worked to try to tighten the description to make sure that we understood that there was indeed a problem, so we put in erosion control. DOT has come back and said, just to clarify that they are able to go in and change the culverts that are actually underneath the runway, they would like it to say erosion control and runway reconstruction, because they are going to have to actually dig up the runway to put the new square culverts in.
Is the objection to the adoption of amendment number 4 maintained? Without objection, amendment number 4 is adopted. Madam Secretary.
Amendment number 5 by Senator Little, page 26, and it's been distributed.
Senator Little.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move amendment number 5.
Amendment number 5 has been moved. There is objection. Senator Little.
Thank you, Mr. President. This is a small amount that I'm requesting to be added to the capital budget. This is a sexual assault response team program. This was a part of the governor's crime bills, and one that for some reason never really made it to the floor. And I know that there is very strong support by the governor of this project. Basically, what it would allow for is the establishment of a response team in Homer with the purchase of some new equipment to assure that we treat rape victims with, so that they aren't re-victimized in the process of getting information from them, so they don't have to tell their story 10 times to 10 different people. Plus, the equipment that is to be purchased with this addition helps by about 75% in the rates of conviction of the perpetrator. This is a pilot project and one that is ready to go in Homer. All that's needed is the equipment, and it's a very worthy one. I urge your support.
Senator Pierce.
Thank you, Mr. President. I rise in objection to the amendment, not because I don't think it's probably a very worthy project, but because there aren't any straight grants to municipalities for the sorts of things that we've been doing using discretionary dollars over the last few years. Certainly I and a lot of other people on the floor have used discretionary Anchorage-wide money in the past few years to give the STAR project in Anchorage, Standing Together Against Rape, capital grants to work on their building, to buy equipment. as I understand, is the same sort of thing, there just isn't any discretionary money this year. I would add that the local municipality, through the Capital Matching Grants Program, could have asked for money for capital matching grants for nonprofits. I understand that most of them didn't, and I understand why. They fully expected that the legislature would come to Juneau and do its usual thing and have $80 million or so of discretionary funding. They didn't expect oil prices to do what they've done. We didn't either. But there is just no money for discretionary funding this year.
Question before the Senate is the adoption of Amendment Number 5. Members may proceed to vote. Have all members voted? Does any member wish to change their vote? Would the Secretary lock the roll and record the vote? And so Amendment Number 5 has failed to be adopted by a vote of 8 yeas, 12 nays. Madam Secretary.
Amendment Number 6 by Senator Little, page 26, line 24. And this has been distributed.
Senator Little.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move Amendment Number 6.
Amendment Number 6 has been moved. There is objection. Senator Little.
Thank you. Similar arguments may be placed against this amendment. However, it too is a worthy one and one that I have very strong support for. As you know, senior citizens, many times, especially if they're wheelchair bound, have very difficult times getting around. This amendment would allow for replacement of a wheelchair accessible van operated by the Soldotna Senior Citizens Center. Their existing van has a outmoded wheelchair ramp that is breaks down a lot, and many, many people depend on it to get to the senior center. I request your support.
Question before the Senate is the adoption of Amendment Number 6. Members may proceed to vote. Have all members voted? Does any member wish to change their vote? Would the Secretary lock the roll and record the vote? And so Amendment Number 6 has failed to be adopted by a vote of 7 yeas to 13 nays. Madam Secretary.
Amendment Number 7 by Senator Little, page 26, line 24, and it's been distributed.
Senator Little.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move Amendment Number 7.
Amendment Number 7 has been moved. There is objection. Senator Little.
Thank you. The purpose for this amendment is to replace the rescue vehicle at the city of Seward. Currently, they're using a very old vehicle that was just adapted for this sort of use. They have no storage areas in the vehicle. The equipment is just kind of pell-mell hanging loose in the vehicle, and it would be a very big hazard if the vehicle ever, heaven forbid, was in an accident, at least to those in the vehicle driving it. It's a very important piece of equipment for rescues and for giving the city of Seward an ability to save people's lives out along the highway that we all drive a lot on in the summertime. So I hope members will give their support to this amendment.
Question before the Senate is the adoption of Amendment Number 7. Members may proceed to vote. Have all members voted? Does any member wish to change their vote? Would the Secretary lock the roll and record the vote? And so Amendment Number 7 has failed to be adopted by a vote of 7 yeas to 13 nays. Madam Secretary.
Amendment Number 8 by Senator Adams, and it's been distributed.
Senator Adams.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move Amendment Number 8.
Amendment Number 8 has been moved. Is there objection? Without objection, Amendment Number 8 is adopted. Madam Secretary.
Amendment Number 9 by Senator Salo, page 26, line 24, and it's been distributed.
Senator Salo.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move Amendment Number 9.
Amendment Number 9 has been moved. There is objection. Senator Salo.
Thank you, Mr. President. I realize that we don't have discretionary money this year. I also realize that there are some projects that might exceed that inability of ours to fund things the way we have in the past. In this case, the Kenai Peninsula, the city of Kenai has the Kenai Care Center, which houses troubled youths and teens. They have a very serious situation with their roof, an absolute need for a replacement. They're willing to match it with $20,000 that they have or think they can raise to try to replace the roof, which has pails on the floors to collect what the roof isn't keeping out. I ask for your support on amendment number 9.
Question before the Senate is the adoption of amendment number 9. Members may proceed to vote. Have all members voted? Does any member wish to change their vote? Would the secretary lock the roll and record the vote? And so amendment number 9 has failed to be adopted by a vote of 6 yeas to 14 nays. Madam Secretary.
Amendment number 10 by Senator Salo, page 26, has been distributed.
Senator Salo.
Thank you. I move amendment number 10.
Amendment number 10 has been moved. There is objection. Senator Salo.
Thank you, Mr. President. This is something that was on the list from the Kenai Peninsula Borough, but something that has become elevated in importance just very recently. If you have been to Nikiski, you know that there is only one road to Nikiski, and then a few years ago in 1988, $350,000 or around that amount was appropriated to make an escape route. That escape route is one lane. It's very muddy, and especially to be used at this time of the year, it was very difficult when on April 2nd, the explosion at Halliburton closed the only road to Nikiski for 12 hours. If that road were upgraded, it would, first of all, become a much more important escape route. The front page of the Clarion, which I think you're all getting now, covered this story just a few days ago, or maybe today. And it's become a very great concern in my community. I realize this is quite a bit of money. I think it would be well spent. I ask for your support on Amendment 10.
Present.
Senator Cotulla.
Having funded discretionary, that apparently much abused word, some years ago this route, I also agree that it was funded to a minimum standard. And truly, if you do have a gas plant explosion there and there's an escape needed, it takes immediacy. You have to move right along, get out of there, or you'd have a very significant loss of life, certainly a lot of illness. And upgrading of that route should be one of our primary responsibilities, certainly the boroughs.
Question before the Senate is the adoption of amendment number 10. Members may proceed to vote. Have all members voted? Does any member wish to change their vote? Would the secretary lock the roll and record the vote? So amendment number 10 has failed to be adopted by a vote of 7 yeas to 13 nays. Madam Secretary.
I have no further amendments.
Senator Taylor.
You done with amendments?
Senator Taylor.
Move and ask unanimous consent. Committee substitute Senate Bill 363, Finance, amended Senate, be considered engrossed and pass third reading, placed on final passage.
Without objection, committee substitute Senate Bill 363, Finance, amended, be considered engrossed, advance to third reading, and placed on final passage.
See us for Senate Bill number 363, Finance, amended, an act making appropriations for capital project matching grant funds and for capital projects, making an appropriation for the continuation of federal litigation and providing for an effective date.
Will the Senate please stand at ease? Will the Senate please come back to order? Senator Pierce?
I'm certainly not going to say that what you have before you is a perfect capital budget. There are things I wish were there. I'm sure there are things that all of us wish were there that aren't. But it does come in below $100 million. I believe it is a responsible capital budget this year with the revenue picture that we have. The total general funds appropriated are $99,996,600. The total other funds, mostly federal, being appropriated are $580,101,600 for a grand total of $680,098,200. I think that in these times, that's a very responsible budget.
Senator Duncan.
Thank you, Mr. President. I think it's worth making just a couple comments about the capital budget. As it's been reported in the press, and of course all of us who have served in this body for some time know, this is one of the smallest capital budgets we've had for a number of years. Mr. President, I would say that that's not necessarily reflective of a responsible approach to capital budgeting as much as it reflects the fact that all the money was spent last year. There isn't anything left to spend. And therefore, a $100 million capital budget is really, you know, squeezing the purse quite a bit, even to get to $100 million. And unfortunately, what this all means is that the nearly $700 million that was appropriated last year takes all those projects which may not be of top priority, take precedent over projects that go wanting this year, projects that would perhaps improve schools in rural Alaska because of health, life, and safety concerns, further funding of water and sewer projects, further funding of other projects that really do become the most critical and the highest priority if we would have had the opportunity to reevaluate last year's level of spending and say, let's put together a capital project that addresses our highest needs. Unfortunately, that wasn't done. The Democratic minority asked at the outset that we do a very careful evaluation of last year's spending so that we could put together a very responsible spending plan for the future and be sure that we were addressing the most critical needs. I don't believe that in, by any stretch of the imagination, this capital budget addresses the most critical needs in the state. And the reason why is because, again, the money has been spent. It's not there. And you can't, you just can't get blood out of a turnip, right? There's no more money left. That's what the true facts are, and I just wanted to be sure that was pointed out.
Senator Jekyll?
Have him at ease, please.
Senator, will stand at ease, please. Will the Senate please come back to order? The question before the Senate is final passage of committee substitute Senate Bill 363, Finance Amended. Members may proceed to vote. All members voted. Does any member wish to change their vote? Will the secretary lock the roll and record the vote? And so committee substitute Senate Bill 363, Finance Amended, has passed the Senate by a vote of 16 yeas to 4 nays. Senator Taylor.
I move the vote on the roll call of passage of the bill be considered the vote on the effective date clause.
Without objection, the roll call on final passage of committee substitute Senate Bill 363, Finance Amended, will be considered the roll call on the effective date clause. Senator Pierce?
I would like to reconsider my vote, please, on CS4, Senate Bill 363, Finance.
Reconsideration is noted. Madam Secretary. Senator Duncan?
Maybe we have these.
Senate will stand. Will the Senate please come back to order? I believe we're on the daily calendar.
Senate Bill number 213 by the Labor and Commerce Committee, an act extending the Public Utilities Commission the regulatory charge. Labor and Commerce recommends a CS and do pass. Report was sent by Senator Kelly, Chair, concurring Senator Trigger and Sharp. Senator Salo, no recommendation. Judiciary recommends a CS and reports it back as follows. Senator Taylor, Chair, and Jack will sign do pass. Senators Dahl and Little, no recommendation. Finance recommends a finance CS and due pass. Report was signed by Senators Pierce and Frank, concurring Senators Kelly, Rieger, and Sharp. Senator Petula signed no recommendation. Rules Committee considered the bill recommends calendar. Report was signed by Senator Halford, concurring Senator Rieger. Senators Little and Sharp signed no recommendation. There are three committee substitutes.
Senator Pierce.
Thank you. I would move the CS for Senate Bill 213, Finance, in lieu of the original bill.
There is objection. Senator Pierce.
Thank you. There were three amendments made in Senate Finance. Section 4205.431 was amended. The new language is underlined. That amendment was offered by the long-distance phone companies. It would keep local phone companies from being able to subsidize alternative services with their rates for their regular telephone service. The second amendment in the section 1 We amended the language in subsection A and took out the liberally, kept out the liberally construed language, and instead said that the APUC may do all things necessary or proper to carry out the purposes and exercise the powers expressly granted or reasonably implied in this chapter. The third amendment on page 4, lines 4 and 5, we deleted the word may elect to be and inserted the word is. That was the cable amendment. We also inserted language page 4, line 5, inserted language that allows subscribers to petition the commission for regulation of cable.
Question before the Senate is the adoption of the Finance Committee Senator Donnelly.
Just have an at ease if there's no
question. Senate, stand at ease, please. Question is the adoption of the Finance Committee substitute. If there's no further debate, members.
Sorry, I object, yes.
If there is no further debate, members may proceed to vote. Have all members voted? Does any member wish to change their vote? Would the secretary lock the roll and record the vote? And so the Finance Committee substitute for Senate Bill 213 has been adopted by a vote of 11 yeas, 9 nays.
CS for Senate Bill 213 Finance, and I have amendment number 1 by Senator Kelly. Page 4, line 6 has been distributed.
Senator Kelly?
Mr. President, before I move the amendment, a brief explanation. With the amendment that was put in Senate Finance Committee, the legislature once again embarked on telephone wars, but the amendment that was put in was a little bit vague, and unfortunately it splatters over onto other public utilities. So all this amendment does is say that the amendment that we placed in the Senate Finance Committee relates only to telephone utilities. So with that, I would move amendment, and I have no opposition to this amendment. With that, I would move amendment number 1.
Amendment number 1 has been moved. There is objection.
I just wanted to move.
Senator,
I just got it handed to me.
Senate will stand. Will Senate please come back to order? The question before the Senate is the adoption of amendment number 1. Is the objection to the adoption of amendment number 1 maintained? Without objection, amendment number 1 is adopted.
I have no further amendments.
Senator Taylor?
Move and ask unanimous consent. Committee substitute, Senate Bill 213, Finance amended, Senate be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, placed on final passage.
The question before the Senate is, shall committee substitute, Senate Bill 213, Finance amended, be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, and placed on final passage? Have all members voted? Does any member wish to change their vote? Would the secretary lock the roll and record the vote? And so a committee substitute, Senate Bill 213, Finance amended, has failed to advance by a vote of 11 yeas, 9 nays. Madam Secretary.
Senate Bill number 256 by the Transportation Committee, an act increasing the tax on transfers and consumption of aviation fuel. Transportation Committee recommends the CS reports the back as follows. Senator Sharp signed do pass. Senators Kelly and Cretula, no recommendation. Senator Phillips signed do not pass. Judiciary Committee considered recommends the transportation. CS, majority of the committee reports the back with no recommendation. Report was signed by Senator Taylor, chair. Concurring Senators Little and Jacko, Senator Donnelly signed do not pass. Finance Committee considered the bill recommends the transportation. CS reports the back as follows. Senator Pierce, chair. And Senator Cretula and Sharp signed no recommendation. Senator Rieger signed do pass. Rules Committee recommends calendar. Report was signed by Senator Halper, chair. Concurring Senators Rieger, Jack, and Jara. Senator Little signed no recommendation. That's transportation CS.
Senator Sharp.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move the transportation version of Senate Bill 256.
Is there objection to the adoption of the Transportation Committee substitute for Senate Bill 256? Without objection, the Transportation Committee substitute is adopted.
CS for Senate Bill 256, Transportation. I have no amendment.
Senator Taylor.
Move and ask unanimous consent. Committee substitute Senate Bill 256, Transportation, be considered engrossed, advanced third reading, placed on final passage.
Without objection, committee substitute Senate Bill 256, Transportation, is considered engrossed, advanced third reading, and placed on final passage.
CS Senate Bill 256, Transportation, Act relating to tax on transfers and consumption of aviation fuel and providing for an effective date.
Is there debate? Question before the Senate is final passage of committee substitute Senate Bill 256, Transportation. Members may proceed to vote. Have all members voted? Does any member wish to change their vote? Senator Pierce? From yea to nay. Does any other member wish to change their vote? Senator Cotulla, from yea to nay. Does any other member wish to change their vote? Would the secretary lock the roll and record the vote? And so committee substitute Senate Bill 256, Transportation, has failed to pass the Senate by a vote of 10 yeas to 10 nays. Madam Secretary. Senator Sharp.
I will give notice of reconsideration for SB 256.
Notice of reconsideration is noted.
Thanks. Senate Bill number 313 by Senator Cotulla, an act relating to the Comprehensive Health Insurance Association and to high to health insurance provided to residents of the state who are high risks and providing for an effective date. HES Committee considers the bill. Majority of the committee recommends no recommendation. Report was signed by Senator Sharp, Vice Chair, concurring Senators Miller, Ellis, Salem, Lehman, Senator Duncan, signed due pass. Labor and Commerce recommends due pass. Report was signed by Senator Kelly, concurring Senators Rieger and Sharp, Senator Salem and Lincoln, no recommendation. Finance Committee considers the bill. Recommends due pass. Report was signed by Senators Frank and Pierce, co-chairs, concurring Senators Cotulla and Sharp. Rules Committee considers the bill, recommends calendar. Report was signed by Senator Helfrich, concurring Senators Rieger and Jara. Senator Little signed no recommendation. We have an amendment number one by Senator Ellis that has been distributed.
Senator Ellis.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move amendment number one.
Amendment number one has been moved. There is objection. Senator Ellis.
Mr. President, this amendment is offered on behalf of a number of Alaskans who've been in touch with me over the years and have felt the frustration of being denied coverage for disability insurance, or better known to us as health insurance, in the state of Alaska due to pre-existing conditions. And I know that there are probably 20 anecdotes from 20 members of this body that we could all share together about very, very sad cases of people being denied for a pre-existing condition. And actually, where this trend is going, Mr. President, is to being denied. I predict this is not very far off in the future for our state, because it's happening in other states, that as genetic testing increases in its accuracy and its ability to predict what will happen to people in their future health, that we'll see the insurance industry without, if provisions like this aren't placed into the law in the 50 states or nationally, we'll see insurance companies denying people disability insurance or health insurance coverage based on genetic predisposition for the development of certain conditions and diseases of the body. And that's a very troubling trend to me, but just dealing with the situation today as it stands with insurance industry policy, people are cut off, people are fired, people can't move to more productive jobs in the private sector or move up their career ladders because of the gridlock and the job lock that we have in insurance, and a lot of it has to do with denial for pre-existing conditions. Mr. President, I won't bring out all those sad stories. I think everybody has one.
of a family member or a constituent. I would just ask the members to search their minds and hearts and see if they don't think this is what should be the state's policy and what is fair and what is right in our health care system. So it's getting rid of pre-existing conditions, being able to deny people health insurance for pre-existing conditions. Makes that against the law.
Senator Rieger.
Mr. President, I'm going to speak in opposition to Amendment Number 1 and explain why. What Amendment Number 1 claims to do, it in fact would do probably for a limited period of time, but there is a dynamic in disability insurance that is referred to generally as adverse selection or some phrase similar to that. What happens is when you have a situation where individuals on an individual by individual basis have the ability to opt into an insurance policy, it tends to tilt the risk pool to a higher and higher level, which raises the rates, which makes it harder for the remainder of the people to become willing to be insured. And a policy or a pool of insureds goes into a kind of spiral of ever higher risk, ever increasing cost, until no one is willing to participate in the pool, and the pool fails. The dynamic of covering individuals, including those with a pre-existing condition, can work in cases where there is a fairly large representative group, a cross-section of representative of an average statistical cross-section of society. This by itself would cause what insurance policies there are in effect today to become more expensive and eventually fail. I think that this would basically lead to the unavailability of insurance in Alaska, period. So I'd oppose it.
Senator Ellis.
Thank you, Mr. President. I believe that the chair of the Senate Hess Committee has just made a compelling argument for truly comprehensive reform of our health care system in the state of Alaska. But I disagree with his assertion that this prohibition on dropping people for pre-existing conditions for health insurance would be the ruination of society or bring us to our knees or the kind of gloom and doom that was mentioned there. I don't think that's the case. Now, he makes a compelling argument too on the pretty much sums up the considerations of a profit-making company. Health insurance companies don't want to cover people that might get sick or people that have been diagnosed for multiple sclerosis but have not yet developed any of the disabilities of that disease. He's described the views of profit-making insurance companies of only wanting to cover the healthy. That's really where we're coming to in this state, Mr. President, is health insurance companies only want to cover you when you're healthy. When you get sick, they want to cancel you or never sign you up in the first place if you've got a predisposition or a family history, or, you know, the vagaries of the health insurance industry are pretty striking. And I don't believe that adoption of this amendment would mean that the whole system here in Alaska would collapse. I think it sets us on the right path toward it's one important piece of comprehensive reform, and it's a blow that we could strike here as a body and improve an already good bill.
Senator Rieger?
I could just respond briefly. If I could draw a parallel to fire insurance, if you know that you've had a reason to